This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 188.
He's got a chocobo in his throat? Home of the best, the fucking best, girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
How are you guys doing this week? Like, oh my god, are you alright? Did you survive?
And if you didn't, we're sorry.
We send our condolences to your surviving relatives, I guess? Who would be listening to this show? I'm not exactly sure why.
If it was in your will.
That's in your will, that would be pretty freaking sweet. Like, the only thing I want anyone to do is listen to the Electric Sisterhood podcast, because
I'd love that.
That's my dying wish.
I have sound mind body to my parents to listen to Esh every week in my absence until the day they die.
That's a bit
or go deaf.
And wow. Okay.
That'd be awesome.
It would be something. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not convinced that would be awesome, but that would be something.
It'd be awesome.
But we want to welcome you to this episode of our podcast. Those of you who have survived, pretty much, I feel right now, the nerdiest week ever. And if you're not keeping up with it, you can catch some of the news on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, you can email us at questions@ESH.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, subscribe.
Yeah, that's how you make sure that you get all the goodness
hit
that is an
the
episode.
Button, get the goodness, and you're done. Or
until next week.
Well, yeah. But if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and you can also listen to some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. You can listen to our show definitely on Mondays. But to help you get through the rest of the week, we've got a few other shows that you might want to check out. We've got one, Boston Bastard Brigade, co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. You can find their new episodes coming out every single Tuesday. They are in iTunes, so you can seek them out there and subscribe. They love it when you subscribe. But they have a unique kind of take on pretty much everything pop culture.
You mean kind of like we have our unique perspectives and viewpoints
exactly.
on culture?
Theirs is uniquely Bostonian.
We're Bostonian.
Yes, but they're uniquely Bostonian because they have Boston.
Oh, I'm regular Bostonian? Is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
No, they have Boston dudes. We don't have Boston dudes.
Okay, fine.
Boston dudes look at things different than Boston chicks. Are we agreed?
All right, fine, agreed.
Thank you. So they have a uniquely Bostonian perspective look on things. They're a cool bunch of dudes and bitches. Let's just be honest. So make sure that you check out their new shows, like I said, airing every Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, to help you get through the hump day, there's Geek Aggro that's co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. Everything you want to know, MMO. And then some. Pretty freaking slick. So right there, we got you to the middle of the week. And then for the rest of the week, well, there's all the extra content that's on our website, as well as our various Twitterings and YouTubings and Facebookings and this, we're like everywhere. We flicker. We do. We flicker. And Flickr's going to be really important coming up because we are attending PAX East. So if you want to know how to bookmark all of that stuff and find out where we are, just hit us on the website, electricsisterhood.com/socialize, and you can get links to all of those areas where we're at. So make sure you're checking them all out because we're going to be shooting some video. We're going to be doing pictures and all kinds of things from the events that we're going to this summer. So with that said, we got a bunch to talk about. I know.
Then don't we have a lot?
I know. Sometimes we don't have a bunch to talk about.
I know.
Sometimes
we just have one thing to talk about.
Sometimes we have like one thing to talk about. We just have lots of areas of that one thing. But then we got a bunch of little things.
I think one of these next shows that we do, I'm just going to be like, I ain't got none to talk about.
I don't have shit to say, so I'm just going to sit here and...
twiddle my thumbs.
Twiddle, twiddle, twiddle.
Exactly.
Twiddle. Is a twiddle like an advanced form of a squirtle?
No. Because I'm assuming that twiddles do not use water.
Why wouldn't twiddles use
water? Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be like TWI, so I think like Twilight, so it'd be like...
Sparkly?
Yeah.
Like a vampire?
Oh, God.
Ew. So it'd be emo? Twirtle, twirtle.
It's twiddle, not twirtle.
I know, but see, it would have to evolve into a twiddle. First it would be all lonely and emo, it'd be a twirtle. And then it'll get happy and sparkly, it'll be a twiddle.
Oh, God.
I'm thinking about this way too much.
I know. I'm letting you run with it.
I should really stop because I'm about to go through the entire hierarchy of advancement. Of a twirtle into a twiddle.
Okay, and then it'd be a twaddle. Oh!
No, it'd be a Twitter.
Anyway.
And then it would never shut up.
Anyway, moving forward.
Move forward and progress here. First things first, we've got some GDC stuff. And I know that you've been playing pretty much one game this week.
What?
But it's a big game. It's a big game.
Well, there's only 13 chapters in it, and I'm in chapter 7.
So let me get through some of the GDC stuff.
Go right ahead. And then time.
You can have the mic of a thousand truths and share your thoughts on the game you've been playing. So I'm going to get the shortest one out of the way first. Fable 3, I'm going to need a towel. I've said it. You can keep recording if you want. I think that we're now starting to see... choose your own adventure games, make your own decision, open world things, actually finally starting to take advantage of the power of the platforms that they're on. I felt that way about Mass Effect 2 in how much freer it was, at least for me in playthrough, than the first game that I enjoyed. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, you know how we feel about Heavy Rain, and it's another one of those, you know, your decisions impact what's going on. Fable 3 is going to do the same thing, and I think that Fable 3 is finally going to be the game that Peter Molyneux wanted Fable 1 to be.
Okay.
You know, a lot of the things that they were talking about in your decisions really affecting and influencing what happens to your character and how your story unfolds that they weren't really able to live up to in Fable 1. And in all honesty, Fable 2 are things that they really believe that they're going to be able to pull off in Fable 3.
Well,
if you check up on the internet, there are some YouTube videos of some footage going around. Another trailer has been released that's going around. And also Peter Molyneux spoke and put some things out on the Lionhead Studios Twitter account, which was really nice because it allowed me to feel like I was actually there listening to things happening, even though I was in my cube at the day job. But I think that, first of all, the idea of taking care of an entire kingdom is interesting to me. You know, most of the Fable games, you start off as the lowly of the low and you build yourself up.
But now you got to start from being up and maintaining up.
And having children and how you rear
them. Fuck yeah, having children.
Is going to. But now you're actually going to be more interactive with your kids, you know, and leading them around to places and doing things with them. And the amount that you do things with them or not will actually have a factor in what they
Daddy,
turn out.
Can I go plunder a village? Only if I go with you. Okay.
Daddy. Can I kill me a pirate?
Daddy, can I lead the monarchy?
Okay. Daddy, do we need a parliament? Can't I just be a dictator?
Yes, that's how I married your mother. Oh!
Excellent. You're the bestest, Daddy. Yes, I'm excited about playing that because I am a borderline psychotic. So... jokes aside, I really think that Fable 3 is going to be the closest to what Peter Molyneux imagined Fable 1 was going to be but really just didn't have the time or the power in the console to pull off. I like the idea of really being in charge of an entire area. So it kind of takes on a Harvest Moon aspect in that, you know, you have to develop your village. Well, you have to develop your realm.
Your kingdom.
Yes. And I like that. I think that, you know, having a overarching responsibility, not just through getting through the quest, but at having, you know, a large secondary item to do, for me, is an enjoyable thing when I go through a game. You know, I don't enjoy side quests if they don't really add up to something. You know, if I do this series of side quests, I get this really awesome weapon. Well, that's a goal at the end, and if that weapon will allow me to get a little bit further down a alternative track in my gameplay story down the end, I like that. But if it's just a weapon of, you know, oh yeah, it's a badass weapon, here you go. Okay, well, it's, you know, not really any better than any of the weapons I've built up through regular play.
What if the weapon was inside of a dragon that ate your mom, so you get vengeance and a kick-ass sword?
Then again, I've got value added going on there. But if it's just inside of a dragon,
like, it's like in the belly, so when you kill it, it comes out.
Right, but if that dragon didn't do anything to me, I'm not going to feel any kind of, you know,
success. It ate your mom!
I'm saying if the dragon didn't eat my mom, though, and it was just in a random dragon.
If it burned your village!
Okay, if it burned my village, again, value added, I would be happy. But if it was just some random dragon that they're like, hey, if you kill the dragon of blah, 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 it has a really kick-ass sword in its belly, I'd be like,
what if you don't? If you don't kill the dragon at the end of your game, it torches your kingdom?
Again, then it's value added. But if it's just some random freaking
dragon, you won't know until you kill it.
Well, yeah, I will. I have the internet.
You're cheating.
It's not cheating. That's it's cheating. Doing homework.
You're cheating.
That's resource.
You're an effing cheater.
No.
You're a cheater.
If I was a cheater, I would call up one of the developers and ask them how to get through it.
Yeah, because you got one of the developers.
I know it's two people at Lionhead.
Anyway,
what?
No, that's cheating. You can't look it up on the internet and be like, oh, so oh, if I don't shit. Kill this dragon, you got
that's what forums are for.
Play it naked.
No, that's what forums are for. I'm not a purist. No, okay, I work 40 hours a fucking week.
Forums, I forums. Well, hey, let the bitch be.
No.
Forums.
Leadership. Toink, toink.
Forums are not meant for you to walk through it, because that's what walkthroughs are for.
Yeah, and guess where you can find walkthroughs?
I've been playing this, and my, you know, my gaming time is well over 300 hours, and this game only has 100-hour gameplay. I must be doing something wrong. Brethren, help me. And then some people are like, fuck no, you gotta figure it out. And then some people are nice. Forums aren't always gonna give you the right answer. There are dicks on forums.
Yes, there are dicks on forums, but you know what? I have the internet. So if I want to go look up a resource to help me get through an area because a bitch can't figure it out because it's 1 a.m. and I got to get my ass up at 6 to go to work, I'm going to read it on the fucking internet. And fuck you for calling me a cheater.
That's what
I'm just using resources correctly.
Okay.
Don't be hating. Okay. I don't think that that's cheating. Okay, looking up something on the internet as far as where a story is going to go or could possibly go is not the same.
But if you're reading through the forum and or walkthrough,
yes,
so that your game will come out a particular way, then you already know how your story is going to end. If you play it naked, at least your initial playthrough, then you're going to get the full value of the game.
I disagree. And go back. I disagree. I don't think that you have to play a game naked in order to enjoy it either way. There are movies that I know because of things that I've read on the internet as far as reviews of movies that I have an idea already of how the movie's going to end. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to enjoy the movie any less when I go and see it. If it's a good story, I'm going to enjoy it regardless of whether I knew it was a good story to begin with or not. Okay, that's like saying, oh, you know what? I already know how Star Wars ends, so I'm not going to go see it because I know how it ends, so I'm not going to enjoy it.
I didn't say you wouldn't enjoy it.
Well, you did. You just said.
I am just saying your initial playthrough, in my mind, should be naked. You should just play it, experience it, and then if you get in any kind of trouble, that's what a walkthrough and or forums are for. Because if you're walking straight in with a guide, then you're reading, and then you're doing, and then there's no excitement about you figuring it out for yourself.
I'm not saying that you should start a game necessarily with a guide or a walkthrough, but I'm saying that if you get to a point that you need that additional help, I think that it's kind of neglectful to immediately call somebody a cheater because they had to get an extra resource to get through something.
If you're having
if
you are having a hard time with a particular part, I don't have an issue.
You just called me a cheater when I said that I had looked it up on the internet.
You didn't say you were having a hard time.
Well, why would I go to the internet if I wasn't having a hard time to look up?
You had stated at the beginning, I was having a hard time with this, so I looked it up. All right, cool. But you were like, yeah, well, I went and looked it up. You never mentioned that there was a state of confusion in the gameplay or whatever else was going on.
You're just trying to kind of backpedal so you don't come out sounding douchey.
No, I'm not. I don't care if someone thinks I'm a douche. I have my opinion about walkthroughs and tutorials and
I think you're so cute. Here's the bottom line for me. I think that we have a bunch of resources around us. I don't start any game by looking at the guide. I never have.
All right, then.
I don't always buy guides. But I do sometimes get to a point, like the one that I had to do with the most with most recently was the Assassin's Creed 2 games. Because some of the mini puzzles, I just was having a hard time.
Me, it's Assassin's Creed.
Connecting the dots. And so I had to go and look that up. Because like one of them, I was like, why won't this fucking, I keep clicking on the thing and it doesn't. And there was one puzzle I was sitting there for like 20 minutes. I was like, this is some bullshit.
See? There are certain games where you definitely, if you want to achieve everything, then you're going to need it. I mean, some people are just born gaming geniuses and can just figure shit out, or they've just been playing games for far, far too long. But no, that's fine. That's fine in my mind. That's not an issue.
So then where do you draw the line? Where is somebody then actually a cheater in your mind when it comes to guides and resources?
Like, literally, if someone walks into a store, GameStop, Best Buy, whatever, and they buy, say, Final Fantasy 13. Mm-hmm. Now, we already know from Final Fantasy games that there's a lot of content.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things that you're not going to initially intuit right away. There's a lot of backtracking if you want to get everything in these kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
But someone to go, oh, I'm going to get that, get the guide, and then as soon as they pop it in, they're like, oh, opening to the first page of the walkthrough. I don't like people who grab a guide right off the bat. Play some of it first. See if you get it. And then if you don't get it, then resort to it. Like, I mean, I bought a guide because it actually came, you know, there was a deal at Best Buy. If you bought it, I got like 20% off my game. Woohoo!
And, you're like deal shopper now. You're like, ooh, if I get this, I get 50% off. But if I get this and this, I get 50% off.
But regardless, it still has its shrink wrap on and it's sitting on my nightstand. And I'm already in just chapter 7 of my game. And I have not, you know, I've died a lot. A lot. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Do I think I'm ready? Nope. I don't want to use that. I want to figure it out. And then I figured, and it's still packaged. Still. But I mean, I had it not once thought that I was going to open it up as soon as I got home and like read and did. No. I think you lose some of the value if you have something holding your hand the entire way. It's supposed to be a fail. It's supposed to be a backup. It's not supposed to be like, mommy, oh, it's okay, baby, I'll help you.
Okay, but what about for those people who, unlike you or I, really, really don't have a whole lot of extra time to devote to games? You know, they've got kids in addition to a job, in addition to other things, and they really want to get through a story. And so as far as doing the trial and error of trying to figure it out, it's not necessarily the right thing for them. Would you still call those people a cheater?
They're a special. No, because if you've got kids and you've got a full-time job, I need to know when you have time to game. How old are your kids?
Between midnight and 2:15
in the morning. So
that's,
you don't got any kids. You know, your kids aren't bothering you. Your wife and or your husband is asleep.
Your headphones.
You got on.
You wake anybody up. You haven't turned on any lights. It's just you and the TV.
You in the darkness. then no. No. It's, honestly, I guess it would depend on the genre of game.
Oh, like, my God.
No. Like an RPG, okay. One that has a lot of stuff going on, like Final Fantasy XIII.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you need a guide to get through Halo, obviously.
I don't even know why they make guides for Halo. You get a gun, you shoot it, you kill people.
You have a gun. Yeah. Things that match you, kill them.
But I mean, so like for RPGs, okay, I understand that. For games like Uncharted, Uncharted 2, where there's a lot of things, games that have a lot going on, yes. Demon's Souls, no. You don't need a guide for that. You just need a lot of patience. Heavy Rain, just enjoy the ride. You don't need a guide. It's a story. Enjoy the fucking story.
And then try to get the balls up again to play through it and maybe get a different story.
So I mean, it depends on the genre. Button mashers, I don't think you need it. You're killing stuff.
I don't think that you really need a guide for a button masher. You know, every time they do a Street Fighter game and I see a guide, I'm like, what? Okay, besides a moves list, which again,
not even that, but they usually give you like a training facility to teach you the moves if you want to spend 8 hours of your day learning how to do combos. But, I know there are people out there who do, and I ain't trying to step on no toes here.
No, I take my hat off to the people that learn those combos, because I don't. I just like to hit buttons and see if I can remember how to make Chun-Li spin around.
I mean, in all honesty, my opinion, the games that you definitely need a guide, and then, you know, even in those games, not to even, you know, I guess in the scenario of the late night gamer whose kids are finally asleep and their hen-pecking spouse is knocked out on Valium.
Just or Ambien.
Or Ambien, who needs a good story, then okay, go right ahead. But everybody else who's got the time to invest, at least attempt to play it naked.
Well, here's the thing. I think it comes down to, as a consumer, it's your right to figure out how you want to get through a game. You know, if I'm going to sit there and invest $70 in a game, and it's a game that I really want to get through the story, if I feel that it's going to come to a point where it's probably going to be difficult for the amount of time I could spend on the game to get through it, that I want a guide to help me tell me what steps I need to get through some levels, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, I'm about to send you Dante's Inferno to play, because I've now played it through twice.
Yay!
The reason why I played Dante's Inferno...
Wait, for which console?
PS3.
Yes! Okay.
The reason why I'm playing... I played it a second time, because I don't typically play games, especially action games, through multiple times. Once I get through it the one time, I pretty much got what I'm going to get. I'm not an achievement whore, so whatever achievements I get through on the first playthrough, that's it. That's all I'm going
to
get.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say it. What I'm trying to say is that's not the kind of gamer I am.
All right, then.
I make no claims that I'm a hardcore gamer. Okay, I freely admit I'm a casual gamer. If I get achievements or I get trophies for whatever I'm playing through, that's great. If I don't, no big whoop to me. Like, I couldn't tell you what all of the achievements for any game are.
I could.
I don't look them up. That's not what I want out of my play experience. I have nothing against people that enjoy that. I have a lot of respect for people that have earned really high gamer scores or have earned lots of trophies in games, because that takes a lot of dedication and a lot of trial and error, and I take my hat off to you. That's just not what I want out of my experience. Okay, I want to get through the story. If I don't find the story interesting, that game immediately gets traded in at GameStop. If I do, then I will find whatever resources I need to help me get through so I can get to the end of that story. But I played Dante's Inferno through a second time because I was pissed when I ended the first game of realizing how many things I missed that would have allowed me to get through some of the levels a lot faster without dying as many times as I did on a couple of the levels. And it wasn't clear through playing on the level that, oh yeah, there was another area over there. And if you just opened up this particular chest, you would have gotten the last little pebble that you needed in Beatrice's cross so that you could automatically absolve people if you wanted to, which would have kept me from doing a lot of button mashing and would have allowed me to get through a couple of areas a little bit faster. You know, and it wasn't clear from either the gameplay or cues on the screen. And so I played it through a second time. And what I and the main reason I did that was because Dante's Inferno allowed you to play through a second game with your character in the state that they were already in.
Ooh, all right.
And so I was able to go back immediately to that area that I had missed and get that element. So I was able to keep all of my weapons built up to the way they were. I was able to keep all of my spells and skills at the level that they were, but start back on any difficulty that I wanted to and get those items that I had missed before. So my first playthrough I played on normal. My second playthrough I played on easy, just so I could blow through the levels faster to get that thing back. And it made a massive difference, not just that I was in easy, but it made a big difference in, for me, what my gameplay was like. Because there are a couple of levels in Dante's Inferno where basically you're going through the Malbogia, which are within the, I think it's the eighth ring of hell. You basically have to go through these 9 trials.
Okay.
Okay. And each one is very specific. Kind of like in Devil May Cry when you had the side option where you could go through the multiple missions in like the little mansion thing and they would throw you this many enemies and you had to kill them in this much time.
Yes.
Okay. Same thing. Idea in the Malbogia. And so it starts off pretty simple. It's you've got a minute to kill everything that comes at you. Okay, great. Now you can go to the next Malbogia. Well, one of the ones that you had to do was start an air attack and stay in the air for 10 seconds. Well, because I had missed a couple of elements that I didn't know to get, just like I didn't know that there were extra trials in the levels that I could actually find and get and do. But because I was unaware of them, I did not have the skill set that I needed properly.
Do that, stay, Ambrosia.
And you cannot get through that level until you do it. So there's no, oh, you failed 3 times. Well, here you go, but now you're going to get penalized. It's no, you will stay here until you do this.
It's hell, ninja. Hell's not meant to be easy.
I'm not saying that hell should be easy, but what I'm saying is if you're going to build a level that's going to require a certain skill set, they should make it undeniable that you get that skill.
Okay.
You know, right. And so that to me is off balance. And so I had to look up and they were like, yes. And if you don't have this, this, and this, it's going to be really, really difficult for you to get through it. And I was able to just barely cheat it out by dropping one enemy on top of another enemy. So at the end of my chain, I was still technically in the air because of the glitch and was able to get through. But on my second play, because I had the elements that I needed to, I could do the cross attacks and it was, you know, no problem staying in the air that long. So I don't necessarily think that it is a bad thing. I don't think that it makes you any less of a gamer. I don't think that it makes you a cheater for damn sure. Okay, grabbing somebody's controller while you're in a competitive game so they can't do anything, that makes you a cheater.
Oh.
Okay, buying yourself a guide so that you can get through this $80 investment or $70 investment that you just made, I don't think that's cheating. And I think that it's, you know, it's mean to call somebody that to do that. That's just my thought.
Straight off the bat, I don't know. Personally, I don't like the idea of having it right next to you. Right, it's meant to be there to help you in situations.
And if you're a shitty gamer, but you still enjoy games, then maybe you need help right off the bat.
I'm not going to win this. It's just my opinion. I don't open my guides unless I absolutely have to. And as soon as I'm done with that one part, I drop it and I go back to the gameplay as it was.
And I haven't bought a guide since Kingdom Hearts 2.
Like I said, mine still has a shrink wrap on it.
But I think that there are resources that should be there. And I don't think that if you tap into them, regardless of when you tap into them, that it's a bad thing.
It's not bad. I frown at it sometimes.
Well, that makes it bad. So the last thing...
I just frown. I'm not saying you're a horrible person because you have a... I'm just like, oh, really?
Yes, really. They did try. And maybe they tried and realized, ooh, you know what? I'm not good at this. I'm going to need help.
Okay.
Okay, that would be like me. If I was to go and buy Final Fantasy 13 right now, I would absolutely get the guide to start off with, and I would crack that...
Well, that's Because you're not really good at, you're not good at RPGs.
This is what I'm saying. Not everybody is awesome at everything. So well, sometimes it's guides, and that doesn't make them cheaters. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
but seriously, if I was to buy Final Fantasy 13, I would have to buy the guide. And before I even open the game, I would open the guide and run through it. Because I learned my lesson with Kingdom Hearts 2 of playing it naked sometimes means that you miss out on keyblades that you really want, means that you miss out on characters that you really want, means that you miss out on gummy ship. You miss out on a lot on a game like that that is so deep. Do I think that you need, you know, a guide to get through flow? No.
Move the controller.
And if there even is a guide for flow and you buy it,
it's probably only 10 pages long.
It's probably like 2 pages. It says move this way, don't touch these things, good luck. So it's like a PDF. Okay, but if you buy it because you need that help, because you can't figure out how to move your little fishy around, well then more power to you if it means you're going to enjoy the game more and enjoy your investment.
Okay,
now speaking of investments, because we gotta talk money. I love
disregard women acquire currency.
No, I'm sorry. This is I have to break into your thing a little bit.
Go ahead.
Because you know how that picture that you had sent? I know you guys out there don't know what we're talking about. But Ninja sent me a picture a couple days ago that I was just raffling about.
Because I love you.
And I found another one that I have to send you. And it's the same guy, different pose. And I think it's from, there's a song where the lyric is, fuck bitches and get money.
Yes, it's called Get Money by the Junior Mafia Crew.
Okay.
Biggie, Little Kim, Little C.
Right. All right, fine. All right. So it's the same guy in that you know, Victorian age. And he's got this big hat on and it says, disregard women, acquire currency. And I was like, oh, I have to send that to Ninja. So if you guys have seen these pictures, you know what I'm talking about. The ones who haven't, you need to find them because they're a good laugh.
We'll put some up on the interwebbing.
We have to. They are so worth it. But anyway.
We'll flicker them.
Go back.
In any case, talking about currency and having to give some up, another thing that came out at GDC was new DLC announced by BioWare for Mass Effect 2.
Ooh.
Okay, so
I still haven't fucked in that game. I should go back to that and do that.
You should probably finish that up because there's going to be more things coming out, especially throughout the summer.
Talking about fucking.
What? That is another podcast. That is not this one.
No, because isn't the downloadable content possibly bringing a character that can be done by either male or female?
That is the rumor. So, and if it is, then it's just another sign of BioWare really listening to their community, which makes me happy. Because I like it when I...
People listen to you.
I do. I really do. But the DLC, which they haven't priced yet, is going to add about, they think, another hour and a half of gameplay to the game. It introduces a new character named Kasumi, who I think kind of looks like a Sith Lord, but with a tan.
Agreed. I saw the pics.
Yeah, and I'll try to remember to put a picture up on the site with the post about this podcast, so make sure that you check it out. But I really do think she looks like a Sith Lord. The rumor is that you will be able to add her to the party, that she will have a loyalty mission, so you'll be able to drive her loyalty, you know, up or down. She will bring a couple of skills to the table, including flash grenade, which would be kind of cool. You know, kind of set it and forget it, but boom, boom, which would be cool. And she also will have the ability, if the loyalty goes up, to kind of do this thing where she cloaks and then can get behind a character and pretty much stab them in the back.
Kind of like an infiltrator?
Kind of.
But better?
But supposedly better.
Like a rogue?
Well, you know, and rogues do it from behind. So I would say probably more like that, yeah.
All right.
And the mission that Shepard will be going along with her is not like most of the side missions where Shepard is the leader, but it's going to be kind of underhanded and seedy and supposed to add some renegade points there. So It should be pretty easy. Yeah.
You mean kind of like with that Zaid guy?
Yeah, yeah. She's being more likened to the Zaid additional content. Which, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed completely. So I'm looking forward to this new DLC. And BioWare has promised that there will be more things coming for Mass Effect 2 while they're, you know, assessing and working, I'm sure, on 3. They just haven't, you know, said it. But come on, they're working on 3. So I thought that was interesting because I really wasn't sure how committed BioWare was going to be to DLC for Mass Effect 2, or it was just kind of going to be, okay, so we gave you the Zaid thing, we gave you the Normandy mission thing, and we'll throw in a couple more planets that might have some more minerals that you could beef up your ship. And that'll pretty much be it until 3. But it looks like they're really, really putting a lot of thought into additional characters and side missions, that if they even did, you know, 2 or 3 more between now and when they actually release 3, which I hope is like in 2 years, because if I have to wait 3, I'm going to be pissed. I think that would be a good break for them. The PlayStation magic wand thing has a name now. It's called the PlayStation Move.
Does it vibrate?
I'm not answering that question.
How many speeds does it have?
I'm not answering that question either.
PlayStation could make me move.
You're thinking. Okay. Their make.believe campaign, that's not what you're supposed to make believe.
Oh.
That's not what they're talking about.
I believe.
I believe he's a dirty girl. Anyway, they have named it. They have also said that they are going to have it available in the fall. That they're creating a starter kit, basically, which will have the controller, the camera that's used to actually track its motion for under $100. They've got 3 games that are going to take advantage of it, an iPets game, as well as the Tiger Woods game. Let's keep Tiger Woods' bad jokes out of this episode.
I know. I stopped myself.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. But what I find interesting about it is that it's just the wand itself that is the move that is going to be available in the fall. So we've seen some demos where they've had the PlayStation Move wand, you know, the one with the little ball on it, as well as
a small ball or a big ball?
It's kind of like a ping pong ball size ball.
No.
So it's not a infinitesimal ball, but it's not a mega ball either.
So never mind. Bad joke. Sorry.
It is just an average size ball.
Okay.
On top of the wand. I love that I just set him up and you're not even going to swing.
Nope. All right. So, I'm behaving myself.
So the move itself, we've seen the demos that it's had a companion analog stick type remote. Very, very reminiscent of the Nunchaku and Wiimote, but both controllers on the PlayStation side being the same size. The second controller is supposedly that they're working on has a D-pad on it and is supposed to be, I think they imagine, kind of the holy grail of using that guy for the analog motion, but actually using the wand for instance, in first-person shooters, the tactical aiming and triggering, shooting, that kind of thing. It was kind of interesting to me, though, that they announced that second remote is going to come later, which says to me that they're having some difficulties really getting it to work the way they imagine it to work.
They probably are.
What's really funny to me, though, is that I was treated to a demo at CES by the Razer folks who had Sixense working with them with a very similar device designed for the PC that worked phenomenally well in the demo that they gave me for Left 4 Dead, and that they're actually starting to work on opening that up for development. I think it's kind of weird that we have these two basically computers companies working on these very similar technologies, and one's kind of sort of there and the other one's there. They just don't know what to do with it. It's really, really kind of funny to me. If only Sony would buy Sixth Sense so they could actually get that developed and working on their side. I think that would be an amazing thing. I hope it does really well, though, because I want tactical play. I'm really, really interested in that. I think that that's the next level of immersion and not 3D.
I would agree. I would agree with you. I think 3D can only go so far.
I think that 3D is going to be prohibitive in its cost, which is going to be the reason why it does not do well and is not developed for. You know, if I want to play with you and you come over, I have to not only have a TV that can do 3D, which means I've got to buy a new TV. I've got an update that I have to do to my system. I've got glasses that I need to buy, not only for myself, but also for you. And then controllers that I need to buy. That's going to be a massive investment. I mean, when you think about, when I think about what I paid for my PS3 when I bought it, because I bought it first week, and I got two controllers for it. You know, I think about that cost alone, and I think I bought 4 or 5 games with it. You know, I ran up close to $1,000. I don't want to do that again, plus have to buy a TV.
I just think it's hilarious now, because if you go and you buy a PS3 now, they only give you one controller.
Well, I only got one controller as well. I had to buy the second controller.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't get two.
Yeah, okay.
I think that it is a prohibitive technology, and I don't think that that's the right way to go. I think that the motion tracking is a better way to go, because that is a better immersion for the user in the game. You know, I don't want to play Uncharted 3 and have the train kind of sort of swing back away from me, because most of the 3D technology that we saw, it was depth 3D and not 3D coming at you. So 3D going away from you. Things look deep. Things retreated into the TV in the dimensions. They didn't fly out at you like we're used to seeing at a movie theater.
Right.
Okay. And so that's not going to add anything to the game for me if I see the train swing even further away from me. So I don't think that 3D is the way to go. But if I have, you know, two controllers that will vibrate when I'm trying to lift a rock and I have to physically take my hands from one position and move them above me, that is a more immersive gameplay element for me than the 3D visual. I would pay for the controllers that allowed me to feel like I was manipulating things in the game rather than a deeper visual experience, if it was good.
Well, we'll see what this move.
Okay.
We'll see what this move offers.
Yeah, I hope
it's in its final stages.
I hope. I have such high hopes, because I can see it being implemented in so many action games that really would just be phenomenal. That have so much potential. I mean, could you imagine a Devil May Cry game where you have one hand peripheral is the sword and is your sword action, and the other one is your gun action?
Yes.
Okay. Would you not love to switch weapons by having to duck your hands behind your back and then come back out?
Yes.
I would. So much potential there. So much potential there. So I hope that it works out.
Well, good luck to you, Sony.
I think that, you know, if we could have that on the Sony system, we have the interaction that we have on the Wii system, and Natal really turns out to be strong, I think that the gaming community is really going to be in for a treat over the next year and a half. If it's not just vaporware. If it is not prohibitive in cost to be developed for and to be afforded by the community. I think that those are two really important pieces that I hope don't get lost in the shuffle.
So wait, so now we're going to have the battle of
immersion.
Yeah.
Okay, who's going to be the winner? Nintendo started it out with the Wiimote. Sony is now throwing down the gauntlet saying, we're going to take what you did and we're going to try to make it even better. We're going to try to make it more precise and actually apply it to adult, you know, mature type games. and address it to mature type players, because Nintendo seems pretty happy in the piece of the market that they have, which are young gamers and family gamers and casual gamers. Sony is looking at going after the hardcore range and then the mid-level gamer. And I don't necessarily know that Microsoft has picked what niche they
want. I don't think they've picked a demographic that they particularly are trying to target this to.
And I think that that's a mistake. I think you really need to, because you can't cater to everyone. We're way too diverse.
Yeah. So they have to fucking figure it out.
I hope they can figure it out fast. Because you've got to pick who you're going to go after. I mean, you look at some of the attempts on the Wii side of mature games, and because they don't really have an idea of what that really is like, they sucked. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
Remember how excited we were about Red Steel 1?
Well, you were very excited about Red Steel 1.
Well, Sword Control, dude! Sword Control! And then
the game came out. I'll control a sword. Sorry.
Oh, you were doing so well, too.
I know. I couldn't help it. It was an impulse.
You know, and then the game came out, and it wasn't really accurate Sword Control as much as, here, swipe up and down, and then in a second and a half, the screen might do it. Or, you know, not. One of them might happen. Possibly. Yeah. Sorry! You know, so I think that all three of these guys just kind of have to realize our markets really don't overlap. Nintendo is great, great at family games and young gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I completely 100% agree.
Every Nintendo handheld beats the bejesus out of every handheld that Sony has done. And for a reason, because they get that market. They know exactly what they need to do there. And so I think for Microsoft, they really need to kind of take a look at, okay, who really is our audience? Here's the like-to-haves. Here's who we've got. And here's who we want to move into who we've got. What do we do to address them that won't piss off who we've got? Yeah. And that's who they've got to go after. Nintendo's pretty much settled into it.
Okay. They're happy where they are and let them stay there.
Exactly. They've said, you know what? Here's what we do really well. We kick ass on handhelds and we do fun, don't have to think a lot about it games. We can be the platform of the family and the party and the get together and not heavy, heavy competition. And you know what? We're cool with that, Margaret. And they are. I mean, I'm crazy excited about Mario Galaxy 2.
Me too, even though I didn't finish the first one. I'm afraid.
Neither did I, but I'm
Yoshi's, dude.
Yoshi's. Okay, I am an adult, and I'm going to buy this game because Yoshi is in it.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, and so they've got me on a couple of titles. On other things, not so much. I'm pretty much stuck in my PS3 and my Xbox 360 because they cater to the things that I'm interested in right now. You know, I am not a Pokemon person anymore. I grew out of that phase. But there still needs to be something to cater to those growing into it. And Nintendo's happy to do that. And you know what? They're making out okay doing that. But I think that for Natal on the motion thing, they really need to decide what they want to do. You know, every time I look at an Natal commercial, I'm not exactly sure who it's for. In one pane, there's somebody taking a picture of themselves and picking out clothes. And
it's for girls.
And, you know, and then in another pane, you know, somebody's boxing or working out. And then in another pane, you know, somebody's playing an RTS game. And, you know, there's no device, I think, that can really cater to those three different things well. You can do one of those things really, really well. But you can't do all three of those things really, really well. So it'll be interesting to see. But that's all my stuff. I'm all done now. I'm going to put down my pen. Why don't you tell the people about Final Fantasy 13? Because I know you've been playing it.
Yes, I have. Well, Square Enix has never gone wrong with their CG.
They make such pretty FMVs. It's crazy.
They do.
Okay, even the Final Fantasy movie, Spirits Within, even though it was a shitty movie, it was
still- It had nothing to do with the original game.
It had nothing to do with the games at all, but it was still pretty to look at.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good. So, instantly, you get bombarded with beautiful background, backdrops, whatever back you want to call it. It is phenomenal. It is gorgeous.
Is it even pretty,
even a blind person would be like, damn, that's pretty.
Even Stevie Wonder was like, wow, that looks great.
Yeah, man. It is that.
Oh, I'm going to hell for that one.
It is that pretty. I shit you not. Story-wise, I mean, I've had a couple of people come to me and tell me that they still think 10 is supreme, but they're not nearly as far as I am. Granted, I wouldn't say Chapter 7 of 13 is that far, though I am.
Hey, that's more than halfway.
Halfway of the game. To not spoil it, because I'm not going to, I am going
No spoiler-licious?
No spoilers.
I'm absolutely not looking forward to spoiler-licious.
Nope, not going to happen here. I respect this game too much.
Oh, so you didn't expect any of the other ones?
No, I do, but...
This one, too much.
Well, for one, you know, Final Fantasy games are so detailed. Like, their details have details.
Uh-huh. And those details also have details.
Exactly. So for me to try to full-on spoil this would take a lot longer than we have on the show.
Yeah.
So I
probably have to... I could 14 of our 27-part coverage of the Final Fantasy 13...
More or less.
...spoiler more podcast or less. Now continues.
And if I'm going to spoil something, I want to completely spoil it. And I don't want someone to come back and be like, well, she didn't fully spoil this, so I'm very upset. So I'm not.
Dear Pandalicious, you forgot to mention
that blah, 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 blah.
In the corner, there's actually a box. And if you open that box, it gives you a ruby. And the ruby then lets you warp to this level, which will totally let you finish the game early.
More or less.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that.
You don't really like those emails.
I'm going to talk about the refreshing aspects to this game.
The effervescence?
Yeah.
That's my word of the day, so thank you for letting me work that in.
You're welcome. Please. So story, like all of the Final Fantasies outside of Final Fantasy X and X-2, which we all know X-2 sucked. Completely different story.
X-2 is just an excuse to play Dress Me Up with Yuna.
It is, more or less. And see Riku's thong. But anyway.
Hurt much? Yes.
Completely different story. And I kind of like the fact that all the characters who you end up interacting with, like, it's not like, oh, I got teleported to this other world and I have to follow this chick around, so here's my party. It's more like something happened to all five of these people at the same time. And you think it's completely random because they all just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But as the story progresses,
It's
not random at all. Exactly. Yeah. More or less. Like I said, I haven't completed the game, so I might just be speculating right now.
You might be full of shit is what you're trying to tell.
Yeah, I could be. Potentially, I'm full of shit right now.
Well,
but the refreshing aspects of this game, the combat system... Which we all know Ninja's not a fan of turn-based. Never has been, never will be.
Nope. If I want to play something turn-based, guess what? I'm going to pick a board game up, I'm going to call some friends over, and we're all going to take turns. Yep. That's about it. That's where turn-based belongs. Not on my computer.
So, knowing that, and me talking earlier about how I was thinking I would send this to you once I was done.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that one out.
Because they have reworked the turn-based system.
Oh?
Yes, and they've kind of made it like an active time battle system.
Mm.
Which isn't necessarily so. It's still got a turn-based element, but it's got real-time in there too. So, I mean, it's not like a full-on...
Do I get to control... See, yeah, then I'm not interested necessarily.
It's not... Just listen to the change.
Okay, all right. I'm listening.
So, it's because it's active time, or I don't want to say full-on real-time.
Okay.
I mean, you don't stand in a line.
That's good. Because that's the first thing that pisses me off about about. No, geez.
I mean, you do start out initially on the same side, but if during your attack you get pushed, you know, you finish your attack on the opposite side, you don't run back to formation.
Oh, good, because that really pissed me off. Yeah. Let's all jump in a line, and then we'll all heave while I wait my turn to hit the thing. No. Oh, wait, I'm going to get hit first. Oh, and I do nothing.
So you get more access in your field of battle.
Okay.
And there's this gauge that begins to fill. It's a blue gauge, and it builds. And you can decide what type of attacks. You can chain attacks. At one point, because, you know, you get introduced to these five, but they don't all stay together. Right now in my game, I'm operating as two different people.
Okay.
Who are in a party, and the other two are God knows where the fuck. They're somewhere else, and I have no idea. Well, I mean, I do, because I'm playing both sets, but right now I'm one set, and I don't know what's going on with that other set. Doesn't really matter. Boom. Okay. Out of my mind. So I've got two. And when you fight, you know, most Final Fantasy games, you get three in your party.
Right.
Not anymore. They've broken that up, which it's a nice fresh take on the action. So your bar is going, and you only operate one of them at the time, but the other person, you know, it's computer, so they're doing actions while you're doing actions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, oh, you do an action, you're done, now they step forward, they do an action, and then you, no. So while you're doing actions, they're doing things that are okay. Either, that are helping you. They've gotten rid of the whole black mage, white mage thing.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
They did. There are still, you know, roles.
Right.
But you're not, oh, I'm Lulu and I'm a black mage. No. And they've actually broken it back up into an earlier system that the Final Fantasy genre had done. So, I mean, you do kind of have someone who could be a white mage, but they're called medics in this game. You have synergists, and they're like the green mage. So they handle like green buffs, no, like all the buffs that help you. Like bravery and faith and all that stuff that, you know, will beef you up and will give you more damage or, you know, magical properties and all that shit.
Okay.
So, I mean, they've changed it to make it more futuristic, which I like. Everybody can't be everything straight off. I think at the start, everyone gets three general roles that they can be.
Okay.
And then later on, as their grid expands, their, I think it's called a crystallarium, expands, they can then start jumping over into other, you know, lines or crystal grids or whatever they want to call them.
Uh-huh. Starting to lose me.
Sorry. I'm geeking out.
All right.
The active time. So like I said, while you're doing something with your character, that other character who you're with, or two, depending on where you are in the game, they're also doing other things. So you're only really controlling one person. But they do have this other system called a paradigm system where, you know, say the main character, Lightning, I'm sure you've seen pictures of her.
Yep.
Light pink hair, kind of looks like a bitch, and she is. For her reasons, she has her reasons.
Okay.
She's kind of a melee class. They're commandos. They tend to do a lot of
damage. Does she go commando?
I don't know. She wears a skirt, and with all the jumping, you'd think you'd see a crotch shot once or twice, but I haven't seen to confirm that.
Hey, good on Square Enix for that.
Yeah, no panty shots. Thank God. Thank God. So, yes. You know, you can set up paradigms so that if you have one character who's like a commando, a melee class, and then you have another character who's a medic, so you don't have to worry about dying because you've got someone healing you throughout your entire, and you don't have to tell them to do, they just do it.
Oh, thank God, because that's the thing that pissed me off the most, is like, yeah. Hey, I'm hurting. Oh, hold on, let me pause the game so I can remember how I can go over here and tell you to heal me. But, oh, I have to wait till it's your turn to heal me, because
it happens automatically. And you can paradigm shift as many times in a battle as you want.
Oh, is there synergy? Oh, there is synergy.
Yeah,
synergists. Okay, yeah. So they
can buff you. There are saboteurs, which are debuffs, and they will shoot those to enemies like a poison or a death, you know, like a, I don't know if there's a death clock ability in this, but,
there's,
you know,
totally like a doom, involved.
There's always like a doom or a poison or a sleep or a slow. So they have saboteurs for that. Reavers are the mages. They do a lot of, you know, magical damage. Like I said, commandos will do that. And you can customize your paradigm shift. So different.
Sorry. What? Go ahead.
No, but you can tweak out your paradigm shifts.
Yeah.
So because people can be different things, they all have different names, different paradigms.
Uh-huh.
What are you laughing at?
Just go ahead. Keep going. Pay no attention to me. Just keep going.
All right, fine. So yeah, you can tweak that. And you, like I said, you can paradigm shift as many times as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now I want to know what I said. But it flows so much easier. The only downside to this active time battle system that they've got going on, you know, before when you were fighting, as long as you lived during the fight, you got money, you got XP, uh-huh. and you tend to get stuff.
Right.
Well, they've decided that they gave too much, apparently. And like I said, I'm in chapter 7 already, and I've never had more than 1,000 gil in my pocket. They don't give gil like it's raining. Like, it doesn't fall from the sky.
Wait a minute. That's the one thing I did like.
Yeah, they got rid... Nope, you gotta find that shit. I'm like, are you serious, game? I'm like, I've had 300 gil for, like, from chapters 1 to 5. And I need to buy a phoenix down, and those are, like, 1,000 gil. So I'm like, shit. But, like, I mean, they've tweaked the things that most people don't like about these games and have made them better. Like, there are aeons in this game, not that they're called aeons. They're called, like, eons, I think.
Yeah, because that's not confusing.
I know. I still consider them aeons because, obviously, the first one that they teach you to fight against, to claim, kind of like a Pokemon, but I'll get into that a little bit, is Sheva, but they've split Sheva into two. They turned her into sisters.
And what?
It's actually, yeah. It's confusing. But it's actually really funny because they're the first Edeon that you will face. And the thing is, when you first fight them, they're against you, but they're trying to get you to prove yourself to them.
Right.
And you don't kill them. But you get them to a point where there's a Gestalt, I think it's called, gauge. And by doing certain actions, it will raise up. And once that bar is full, if you press square or whatever button is associated with the 360, because I don't have the buttons memorized in my mind, which is really sad for me. Isn't that the X square?
X is blue and it's at the bottom.
All right. What's on the, what's a?
That would be B. Math.
Okay. B. I'm gonna
X and Y and B and A. And A is green and B is red.
Okay, fine. So I'm assuming.
Is west and A is in the east.
I'm assuming that, you know, but once that gauge is filled with them, if you press square, because I'm playing it on my PS3, they will become your personal Edeon.
So you get your Gestalt up,
yeah,
and then you can catch your Edeon.
Yeah, like a Pokemon.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, when you're fighting the Sheva sisters, they're called, you know, different things, but together they represent Sheva because they're ice. They're kind of like hot chicky. They're kind of like hot chicks, but they're like, you know, not humans, so they're not really chicks, but they look like chicks. And they have wheels. Like, their hair is like a wheel.
Okay. And when,
because these Edeons have, like, a travel form where you ride them.
What?
Yes. I know what that sounds like. But,
you get your Gestalt up so you can catch your Edeon so you can ride it.
So you
That's
can
right. It. Okay.
Yes. And Snow, the guy that you've seen in all the trailers, who's all like, I'm going to protect you. And, oh, my God, I can't stand him when he speaks. But he will, this is a slight spoiler, he will get.
Not a slight spoiler. She's about to spoil something.
Yeah. Well, it's in like the first 20 minutes of the game. So if you haven't played it already, well then, whoop-de-fucking-do. But, and it's a tutorial, so you have to do it to learn how to do it later on in the game. So it's in the tutorial mode, so I'm not spoiling shit.
Okay.
But after you figure out what you have to do to gain their trust, they turn into, now they're two girls. Their hairs are wheels.
Uh-huh.
And you know how motorcycles are, you know, built. So how could two girls form to make a motorcycle with their hair being... So they...
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I shit you not. I shit you not. And I'm like, okay. And of course, because they're now a motorcycle, Snow is riding them like a motorcycle. So he's pretty much like sitting on their vajayjays.
Oh, this is awesome. It's like Revolutionary Girl Utena. Oh.
Hey, no, because they turned into cars.
That's how they don't.
And it only took one, not two.
And that's how they get around the copyright infringement. So what we have here is first we have somebody that was obviously playing Meeting Room Madness coming up with paradigm shifts and synergy, which is why I'm laughing because those are also words that are used in buzzword bingo.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Paradigm shifts, synergy, out-of-the-box thinking. Okay, then we've got a Pokemon aspect with...
But only with the... Only with
Aeons,
the
Eddions, because we couldn't just leave them fucking called Aeons, because that's what we've been calling them.
I know.
So they have to catch them and summon them. And then on top of that, then we're going to throw a little Revolutionary Girl Utena at you, because we're going to have these two bitches join at the pussy.
Well, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
To make a motorcycle
for snow.
For a dude to ride.
Getting back to it really fast.
I wanted to make sure I had the right.
So each of these five people who have now come, you know, together, quote unquote, kind of a loose, together in this situation. Uh-huh. You can only have one Eddion. There's only one for each person. So Snow got Sheva. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Shiva. I'm sorry. And Lightning gets Odin. And I'm not going to say what Odin turns into. But he's probably the hardest Eddion fight in the entire game.
Okay.
He whooped my ass a lot. And then when I finally figured out what I was doing wrong, I was like, yeah, bitch, eat it. Eat it like a sandwich. It's so good.
Don't forget the mayo.
So, I mean... They've changed a lot of stuff, and I like the idea of the paradigm shift. I like, I do.
Sorry, I can't help it.
And I like the fact that, you know, you're only responsible for your character. Now, the really sucky thing about that is that in most Final Fantasy games, even if the character that you're playing dies, if your other party members are alive, you can still continue the fight. Because somebody can summon, or could throw down a phoenix down and you'll pop right back up.
Mm-hmm.
No more. If you fall, even if the rest of your team is still up, gotta start over. You have to survive.
I think that's a good thing, though.
It will teach you not to expect that every situation will come out. Which I'm just not used to it. Because in most RPGs, as we know, when one person dies, there's always somebody else who could pop you back up.
Right. Well,
not anymore. They've taken that out. So that's fine. And I really like the story. And I'm not going to ruin the story. Like I said, five people thought they were just, you know, strangers. But somehow they're all linked. And I love it. Absolutely love it. And I don't like the fact that Leona Lewis is doing, like, the biggest... The hook song for the series. I don't like her. I don't like the way she sounds. And they should have gotten... who they always got since, like, Final Fantasy X. It's like Umaste Nuburo.
There you go. I'm going to totally butcher this name.
But that person. And everyone knows who I'm talking about, even though I just butchered the ever-loving fuck out of it. But I don't like it. And it comes off as a commercial plot to me. A marketing ploy, if you will. And, yeah, so... It's disturbing. But otherwise, story's really good. I love it. There's a black guy in it who you play. Oh my god, the black guy. Looks like Montel. We've seen pictures of him before.
Yes.
And a chocobo chick lives in his fro.
What?
Yep.
He's got a chocobo in his fro?
Yep, I spoiled that, bitches. Yeah, when you first...
Oh my god!
First get introduced to him, and he's talking to emo pink-haired girl.
Uh-huh.
He's talking, and all of a sudden, this chocobo chick just comes out, like, out of his fro and flies around his head and then goes back in. So I'm like, what the hell? Oh, and on a personal side note of this particular character, he has a son. Okay. So I think it's really funny. So he's separated from his son. I'm like, wow, like the Japanese have a very poor picture of the African American race, because even in the future, father's a rolling stone. Father,
God damn it.
No, believe it or not, you're as him, you're trying to get back to your son because something happens to your son too. That's all I'm going to say. All
right.
But I thought it was really cute because his son, like, they've gotten really good at making people look like people. You know, son looks kind of look like him, has a fro, and he has this big smile, like, I love the world. And the chocobo chick that this character has was for his son. So, like, that's the reason why he has it. But I love the fact that it, like, sleeps in his afro. And at one point, he's, like, he's talking really, he's, like, very emo with this other chick, who I'm not even going to say who it is because I don't want to ruin the story. But he gets really dark and depressed. And, like, he fights with guns. And he takes one out, and it looks like he's about to, like, blow his, like, head off. And the chocobo flies out of his fro, lands on the gun, and it was all like, and is shaking its head no. And he's like, I guess you're right. And I'm like, dude talks to birds.
Why is a black like, man with
the and whenever and throat? Whenever he fights, it's like jazz music. Which is weird for Final Fantasy because it's usually very orchestral.
Yes.
And when it's like stand-up bass, dun, 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 and I'm like, all right now. I'm down for that.
Oh my god.
But I mean, it's enjoyable. I have enjoyed it.
So it's a buy. Or is it a
it for someone who's not a big fan of RPGs like you, just for you to see it and experience what I'm trying to convey here, I'd say for you it's a rent. At least a 2-day rent, bring it back, you're done.
Okay.
But for someone who's liked the Final Fantasy franchise, who was hoping that they would do something a little bit different, they did it. And I think they will really enjoy it.
All right. So that's what we got for you. See, told you we had a lot to talk about.
And I didn't spoil anything except for
a couple things. But that's okay.
They're all minor things and they have nothing to do with the core story.
Itty bitty steps. I'm very happy with your progress this
Thank
week.
You very much, Internetverse.
I'm also very happy with the stuff we put up on our website. So make sure that you check all that out by visiting us at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you in a long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, subscribe.
Yeah, hit the button, bitches.
Subscribe, listen to the Esh goodness. Heed the word.
The call has been made.
Assemble and enjoy. If you don't want to do it that way, then you can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine. And we're also part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of our podcast airing each week on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com. Our episodes go up every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which works out to be about 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. So make sure that you check that out. And if you're hanging around on All Games waiting for our show to come on, you should check out some of the other stuff that they have playing over there. I especially like Dead Pixel Live.
Gametopius isn't half bad either.
Yes, and Bobby Blackwolf is still the motherfucking man.
I know. I want to hang out with Bobby. He seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, I hope he's at PAX East. Like, we're going to be...
I know, we're going to PAX East! Woo!
Yeah! Woohoo! Drinking in Boston. I mean, interviews and game things.
Yeah, we know where her prerogatives are.
It's my prerogative. All right, anyway... We will be at PAX East, so make sure if you're in the area or attending the event that you check us out. We'll be roaming the floors. We'll be talking. We're also going to do an episode of our podcast with some of our affiliates, the Boston Bastard Brigade dudes. They've got podcasts too, and they go out every Tuesday. It's co-hosted by our boy, King Baby Duck. And we are actually going to be doing an episode. I still haven't figured out if it's going to be live yet or not. We're going to work that out when we get there. We'll see. But you can check out episodes of the Boston Bash Brigade so that way you have a better idea of what's going to go down PAX East weekend at bostonbashbrigade.com. You can also check out Geek Aggro, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. And their episodes, they go out live every Wednesday. So right there, we've got your geek game, pop culture crap covered all the way to Wednesday. And then
There's also the stuff that's on our site and our Twitter stuff and our Flickr stuff and our YouTube stuff and our Facebook stuff and shit. What else are we on? I don't know. But if you go to www.allergicsisterhood.com/socialize, you can find out and bookmark those things and interact with us on all of those places. So we pretty much got you covered all week as far as what you need when, you know, you're a geek or a nerd or into stuff. So with that, I guess I just need to ask you, Panda, do you have anything you need to disclose?
I think I want to disclose paradigm shifts are cool.
but only
if there's synergy involved.
Exactly. And that's going to require a lot of out-of-the-box thinking to get that off.
And what about you, Ninja? Anything you want to disclose?
I would like to disclose that I like pie.
What kind of pie?
Apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
And blueberry pie. I do not like the cherry pie. Or at least I don't like orange. Let's put that.
All right, that's fine.
I do like cherry pie. So with that, I'm going to say that I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out of here, people.
See you next week.
Peace.